Meet Reed Lance Rosenthal, rancher, number one best-selling award-winning author, and unabashedly, unapologetically, on the right side of the outstanding issues of our generation. But don't try to fence him in. Sometimes his positions will surprise you, because Reed is definitely his own man, with his own opinions. You might love him, you might hate him, but you won't be able to stop listening. Step over to the right side with Reed.
Happy Saturday, folks. It's Reed Lance Rosenthal on the Right Side Radio, reporting to you in the wee hours of Saturday, September 2nd, I believe it is. I've lost track between ranching, hay, traveling, book signings. I mean, I'm not even sure what year is this. We have a lot to cover in this show, and I'm going to get started post-haste here. Some of them I'm going to cover kind of in bare brush terms. There's a bunch of great articles posted on therightsideradio.com, www.ontherightsideradio.com. You people who are listening to podcast and on the .com, of course, can see them. You folks on AM can go to the website and read them. Pay particular attention to Loony Left, that category. And pay particular attention to the treason category, which we'll brush on and have more detail on some of the stories I'm going to bring to you this morning. I am reporting to you from Blackfoot, Idaho, the Southeast Idaho Fair, where we are the designated authors for the fourth year in a row. We have great readers out in this. Well, all our readers are great, but we have tens of thousands of readers out in this neck of the woods. We're looking forward to seeing a lot of our fans. For those of you in Idaho or going to the Idaho State Fair, we are not going to have Book 4, unfortunately. We do, however, have a terrific coupon for you, which will allow you to reserve the books for free with a special code on the ThreadsWestSeries.com website from the publishers. That's right, free reservations, not like you have to pay at Amazon. As you know, if you pre-order on Amazon, you got to pay, and then you got to wait. These are free reservations from the publishers, and then they will send you an email, and guess what? You will be able to buy these books for $10 plus postage, 4, 5, and 6. It should save you about $25. So no Book 4, but a coupon worth lots of savings on Books 4, 5, and 6, which are like coming right down the pike at you. And that's all I'm going to say about books right now, because we got too much to go over. So I didn't get to report last week from South Dakota, or I forgot to report, is actually more accurate. I had a great little surprise while I was at the fair. I was invited by one of the honchos in the state Republican Party to attend a weekly luncheon. And it's called the Wing Nuts. And the Wing Nuts happen to be very conservative Republicans within the Dakota Republican Party. And there were a number of state legislators there, both guys and gals, whom I got to meet. It was really terrific. And I want to tell you that they are facing, the discussion centered around, I'm not going to go into details of it, I got to speak for about 20 minutes, which was terrific, and got to talk for an hour or two on an individual basis with a lot of the people that attended the luncheon, which was also terrific. But, you know, they are facing within their ranks in South Dakota a bunch of rhino undercutting, undercurrent members of the party, just like we're seeing out of Washington. And to hear about it on a local level was eye-opening. You know, it brought home to me that the problem with Republicans in name only, those Republicans who are, you know, like John McCain and Lisa Murkowski at the national level, who do everything they can to undercut and undermine the actual planks in the Republican Party platform, this is a systemic problem that has to be taken care of. I mean, if they want to go form a moderate party, great. If they want to go join the Progressive Party, great. But, you know, don't stay in the Republican Party and undermine the efforts of true conservatives and people who support all, if not most, of the planks of the Republican Party, which are terrific. So, that's just a little sidelight here. I didn't get to bring it up last show, but I wanted to send a shout-out to the Wingnuts there in Rapid City, South Dakota. Great bunch of folks, great patriots, and working on a local level and a state level for the betterment of the people of South Dakota. Okay, now, in this show, number one, we're going to cover some of the absolute, you know, the left. The left. The left puts ideology above everything, folks. They could not care less. In fact, they abhor red states, middle class, and anything and everything to do with American values, the Constitution, and what we know, you and me and the rest of the people listening to this show, other than the libs who like to listen because they hate me, what we hold dear. They really don't care. And they don't care about anybody in any predicament that they feel falls into that quote-unquote subhuman class, you know, not the elites, not the well-educated, not the college grads, not the big city folks. And it is absolutely coming to play right now in this mess that Harvey has created down in Texas. I mean, my heart just breaks for all those people down there. It is, you know, this is not a localized neighborhood flood. I mean, this is a regional disaster. And people are losing everything. You know, I've done reports to you, and you can go back and put in the search bar, average American, probably average American paycheck or average American finances would probably bring up the show. I can't give you the exact search terms. But I report to you that 68% of people in the United States have less than $500 cash. Think about that. 68% of the population, and it was something like 89%, I'm going by memory, that have less than $5,000 cash. You know, that, folks, that doesn't even repair, you know, like a rim and a tire on your vehicle. And it's many of these people who have been hurt in this flood. I mean, people of all ilks, races, creeds, religions, the floods don't care. And to hear these people on the left, these progressive, you know, scum, that's what they are, to try and politicize this, to poke fun at these people who have lost everything, who have had their lives turned upside down, and for whom it will take years to recover, and some of them might never recover. To hear them poke fun and be derisive toward these people, to hear them politicize the situation. You know, there's plenty of times for politics after you've helped everybody, is just abhorrent. It's reprehensible. It is the lowest of the low. For instance, and I think one of the reasons, by the way, is that they are incensed that what you see going on in Texas, white guys helping black guys, and black guys helping white guys, and people of all religions helping people of other religions, and the Bubbas, right? The ordinary Americans coming in from all over, using their own fuel, their own money, their own lodging, their own vehicles, their own boats, to pitch in and help their fellow Americans, whether they're white, black, red, green, it doesn't matter. To hear these people derided by these elitist, progressive, alt-left, nasty folks just pisses me off. And I think that the left is pissed off because when you watch the films there on Harvey, and sure, there's exceptions to the rule, there always is, what you see down there is proof that America is not racist. It is picture proof. And you know what? That just doesn't fit their political lexicon. It just doesn't work for what they're trying to do to divide this country and assemble a voting bloc. And it doesn't do for what they really in their heart of hearts believe, which is that America is evil. The average American is a racist, homophobic, Islamophobic pig and doesn't have the brains to think for himself and is doubly bad and a Nazi because they voted for Donald Trump. Anyway, CNN and the New York Times, they insist that Governor Abbott, who's doing a stellar job down there, resign. You know why? Not because he's not doing a stellar job on the flood, but because because he has not agreed that global warming is a man-made problem, and that global warming caused this storm, and that Texas oil, you can't make this up, I posted the article for you, and that Texas, or my producers did, Texas oil is one of the major contributors to global warming. You know, last month it was cow farts. And I think the month before it was something else, you know, like the horses exhaling or whatever. Whatever nonsense they dreamed up for that month's climate change hysteria. But that's just one example. Then we have Politico doing a cartoon. And I, you know what? I did not, I told the producers, don't put it on the website because I'm not going to honor the cartoon. You can see it on Twitter. You can go to Politico and see it on their website. They took it off their Twitter feed, but it's been retweeted like 10 million times. But you can go to their site, Politico. And the scene depicts a National Guard helicopter. It's a cartoon. Pulling a guy out of the floodwaters who's wearing a cowboy hat and a Confederate flag shirt. And he's talking about something about how great Texas is or something, and somebody else in the helicopter is talking about, yeah, aren't you glad the government's here to save you? You have to see the cartoon. It's absolutely a slap in the face to the people of Texas, a slap in the face to the average American, a slap in the face to a Trump voter, a slap in the face to Republicans. They don't care. These people don't care. Barack Obama and his minions and all the alt-left right now who in one way, shape, or form work as little satellites around his central command post for the resistance, they don't care. They simply don't care. They don't care about country. They don't care about God. They don't care about family. They abhor the Constitution, and they don't care about Americans. Certainly not their fellow Americans that they consider with contempt beneath them. Okay, then we had this professor down in Florida, I think it was Tampa University, University of Tampa. He tweets out that this is karma and Texans deserve it because Texans voted for Trump. Can't make this up. I don't know whether he got suspended or fired, but the university took some kind of action. You can Google it up. I think I might have an article also posted under Loony Left. Okay, then we have a number of left, alt-left, well, not even alt-left, I mean, just left websites talking about how Texans deserve this because they're all Nazis. They're all Nazis who voted for Trump. And then we have Cuomo, that moron on CNN, who is getting all over Kellyanne, who comes on for an interview. I don't know why she even bothers with CNN. Getting all over Kellyanne saying, well, this is all about global warming. And now are you, is Mr. Trump ready to admit that now this is global warming? Global, I mean, really? Hey, Cuomo, how about this? How about we pick your sorry butt up, we drop you out of a Coast Guard helicopter into the middle of the Houston flood, and we'll see if you're more worried about drowning and saving your life and avoiding alligators and swallowing sewage than you are about global warming at the time. Somehow I think your own pathetic life will be at the forefront and global warming will be a distant second. What do you think, Cuomo, baby? And then we have Linda Sarsour. Remember Linda? I've done a whole show on her. In the search bar, type in The Dance of the Angry Vaginas. This is about the Women's March that she was co-sponsor of. This is the gal who is a huge, she's a Muslim, a huge Sharia law supporter, which of course beats up women from A to Z. And she's the organizer of the Women's March. And 500,000 women actually show up in that march months ago in Washington, D.C., wearing pink vagina hats. Oh, my God. And they're marching in a march organized by a Sharia law ultra supporter. I mean, it makes it, like, really? Really? Seriously? I mean, wow. Unbelievable. The unhinged left. Well, Linda Sarsour, and I do have this this article posted. In fact, let me see if I can call this up right now because it's just too good not to share it with you in detail. Oh, yeah, okay. So she's like, she's trying to raise money. And what she's doing is she's covering, she's trying to insinuate that she's raising money to help the folks that are caught in the flood, right? However, she's raising money for an outfit, which is a Palestinian-American activist outfit, and alt-left, you know, it's more of this unholy alliance between the left and radical Islam. So, let's see. So she tweets out, and she's attempting to raise stuff. Oh, yeah, here's the tweet. You got to love this. You got to love this. Here's her tweet. Donate to the hashtag Harvey Hurricane Relief Fund at act.myngp.com. Forms. Now, fortunately, there was only like 92 retweets, so I don't think she has a lot of credibility. However, if you go down and check out this outfit, this has nothing to do with food and blankets and shelter and help to rebuild for Harvey flood victims. It is the Texas Organizing Project, and I will quote, works to improve the lives of low-income and working-class Texas families through community organizing and civic and electoral engagement. TOP is a member-based organization that conducts direct action organizing, grassroots lobbying, and electoral organizing. In other words, she's using the red herring of helping flood victims when actually she's raising money. Gee, big surprise, big lie. When actually she's raising money for political ends of both Islamist and socialist via community organizing efforts and, as she calls it, electoral process efforts in Texas. What a scam. What a scam. I don't know if she's an American citizen or not, but if she's not, she ought to be deported back to Pakistan or wherever you want to go, darling. And good riddance. Then we have a bunch of people in the press. I don't know if you saw the briefing the other day, but they're more concerned with what Trump is doing for illegal aliens caught in the flood than what he's doing for American citizens caught in the flood. Really? Really? Illegal alien? What are you doing for the illegal aliens? Are they going to be treated okay? Are they going to get all the stuff that Americans get? Are they going to get, like, money? Or are you going to deport them? I mean, huh? I guess their butts wouldn't be in Houston swimming around with the alligators if they hadn't crossed the Rio Grande illegally. Huh? And since the water is flowing toward Mexico and the Gulf, maybe they ought to just get a surfboard and ride it back home. How's that for treating them? Wow. Unbelievable. Okay, then... it just goes on and on and on. It really does. It's unbelievable. So, I'm bringing that to your attention. Because, number one, some of this stuff is so ludicrous. It is so banal. It is so out of touch with the suffering of hundreds of, actually millions of people in Texas. And it is so indicative of the contempt the left holds the rest of America in. That if it wasn't so pathetic, it would be funny. But I bring it to your attention just to pound home the fact that the alt-left is an enemy of the American people. It is an enemy of America. It is an enemy of the Constitution. And ideology trumps everything, including human life, particularly what they consider to be the subhuman life of middle America, and particularly the subhuman life of anybody who lives in a state that voted for Trump. I mean, it's beyond comprehension. Along the lines of Harvey, if you have not donated some dough, please do so. I talked to you about this last week before the storm even hit. I mean, I can read, you get pretty good at reading weather maps and radar, particularly long-term maps when you're a rancher, because so much of what a rancher does is predicated on weather, when to cut hay, when to bale hay, and when to move cows, and I can go on. The list is endless. And I knew this was going to be a friggin' wreck. I mean, you could just see it on the maps. And if you know about the strengthening of hurricanes, when it's moving over warm water, it's going to pick up, you know, several categories of devastation. It's going to go from a 1 to a 2 or 3, or a 2 to a 3 or 4, etc. And there was no way it was going to hit either Louisiana or Texas. So I started talking about this last week. Ahead of the storm. And now, of course, the storm has hit, and it's far worse than anybody could ever imagine, certainly more than I could even fathom, and obviously more than the meteorologists, blah, 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 blah. It's early in the morning, folks. I need more coffee. Predicted, although some European models, when the storm hit the coast, were predicting 50 inches of rain, which, in fact, what some areas wound up with. But, you know, give, folks. You might want to check online as to matching disaster funds. There's a number of outfits. I know we have a lot of listeners in the Utah and southern Idaho area. KSL, a radio station out of Salt Lake, was, as of a day or two ago, I don't know if they're doing it still today, but they had a big wealthy donor, I don't know who it is, who were matching contributions 3-1. So if you go to KSL, for instance, and you pledge $10, there's actually $40 going to relief funds. I mean, you're getting like huge bang for your buck. Then Google, and I'm not a fan of Google, I think they're alt-left. They infringe on the First Amendment. We can go on about this, and one day I'll do a show on how politically detrimental to this country these people are and to the Bill of Rights. But Google was doing it. Once again, I don't know if it's been satisfied or over. They were doing a matching fund of dollar for dollar. If you contribute $10, they'll put in $20 to the Red Cross. Look for a matching funds type deal. There's a lot of them out there. Because really, you're making exponential dent with your dollars. If you put in $100 and it's a double matching fund, you know, there's $200 going to flood relief. Make sure you investigate which charities the money is going to. Let me emphasize this. In addition to telling you about Linda Sarsour's scam on this, and there's many others going on. I just picked her out because she's so vile. She's so vile in so many ways. I picked her out because I've talked about her before, but it's a perfect example of people saying, give us money for the victims, when really, if you read the fine print, the money is going to something having nothing to do with helping and saving people down in Texas right now. In fact, quite the contrary, you're probably contributing to a political enemy funds, which they're going to use to politically attack you. So definitely investigate the charities that you're giving to. Obviously, you can give to the American Red Cross directly. It's not a matching thing, but you know where your money's going. And there's several other good outfits. Several of the religious organizations are also doing a wonderful relief job. So please do. Your fellow Americans need you. All you got to do is watch TV for 5 minutes. 5 minutes of video. And I mean, you have to have a heart of stone not to feel badly for these fellow countrymen. That kind of leads us to a whole bunch of things which obviously Harvey and whatever nonsense they happen to have going relative to Trump have pushed off the radar screen. So I'm going to bring two things to mind for you, North Korea and Iran, because they're two really huge things. I mean, if North Korea or Iran launches a nuke or two at the United States, Harvey is going to look like a walk in the park, and Harvey is no walk in the park. So this is big stuff, and this is stuff that has to be paid attention to despite what's going on with Harvey and other situations. So North Korea, as you know, has launched a bunch of missiles over the last week, and there's joint war games going on with, let's see, South Korea, the Philippines, Japan, the United States, just south of the demilitarized zone. I have said this from the beginning, and I'm gonna reinforce it now. I really think, I mean, I think the chances are now up to 8 in 10, 80%, that we are going to do some type of military option with North Korea. I don't know whether it'll be a complete blitzkrieg, take out everything, all the artillery along the demilitarized zone, take out their missile stations, take out their leadership, I don't know. Or whether it's going to be just a pronounced single strike to kind of send a message. But something's going to go on here. There's a reason that the Chinese have massed 160,000 of their crack troops on the Korean border. There's a reason that just this week, Russia has ordered mandatory evacuations of 150,000 Russian citizens to, I think it's 25 miles or 25 kilometers or 50 kilometers back from its border with North Korea. I mean, there's a lot of things going on, folks, that are not being reported. But in all of them, I hear the drumbeat of war. China seems to know it's coming. Russia seems to know it's coming. The United States seems to be gearing up for it. There was a, let me see if I can call this up. Once again, I'm on the road here, so. But a B-16 bomb, that's a tactical nuclear device, part of the tactical nuclear weaponry of the United States, was just tested again, kind of to perfect it, in this last week in the deserts of Nevada. Now, I don't think that's coincidence at all. So I'm just telling you, it's going to happen. And along these lines, I've talked about before, you can put in the search bar Iran or North Korea or the two of them and come up with the previous shows. What's important about North Korea is not North Korea. What's important about North Korea is Iran. Stopping the tutelage of Iran and North Korea back and forth in developing nuclear weapons and missile technology. Give Iran an advanced lesson in what might happen to them if they don't toe the line, and a host of other things. But what just came out 2 days ago is, once again, some uncovered documents, which everybody claimed never existed, is more Obama treason with Iran. It seems now that we are learning, and we never have learned the full extent of the nuclear deal with Iran that Obama did without ratification, behind our backs, and as Ben Rhodes, his deputy national security advisor, admitted in an interview, was done on false pretexts to get it, to slip it by the American people. I mean, this is in writing. This is in writing, and these are quotes from him in an interview. We now find out that one of the things Obama wanted the Iranians to use, the $150 billion he gave them, was to reinforce and rebuild its fleet for Iran Air, their commercial jet, you know, their state-run commercial passenger jet system. And they did. In fact, they ordered a whole bunch of new planes from Boeing. But it gets better. Iran Air then used some of these new planes that they bought with American money, Obama money, to ferry troops, including Revolutionary Guard, etc., into Syria to, number one, defend Assad, and number two, attack our allies, and, to a lesser extent, defend ISIS from us, and to a lesser extent still, except when paths cross, to attack our forces. Now, that's unbelievable. And you know what else has come to light is that that putz, that milquetoast, that pathetic excuse for Secretary of State John Kerry, he actually traveled around the globe prior to the sanctions. And by the way, lifting the sanctions allowed Iran Air to do this, which Obama also did. But Kerry actually traveled around the world exhorting Iran Air and trying to line up business deals for them and transport deals for them prior to the nuclear deal being signed and prior to the sanctions being lifted. Now, if you want to talk about collusion and aiding and abetting the enemy, I mean, you know, when the parliament stands up and chants death to America and death to Israel, I think we could kind of rely on the fact they hate our guts. And if you read any of their rhetoric, I think you can kind of rely on the fact that they'd nuke us in a heartbeat. And if you think that our last government was effective, and you think the Iranians are not nasty creatures bent on torturing, damaging, or destroying the United States at every single opportunity. You just think about a picture of those Navy sailors kneeling on the deck of a United States Navy boat, you know, not a warship, but a war boat, as they were taken prisoners by the Iranians in the sea, what, about 3-4 months ago. I think that tells you all you need to know. And here we have Obama and Kerry and the Obama clan, I have no doubt led by Valerie Jarrett, his most trusted advisor, his puppeteer, so to speak. Not puppet, but puppeteer, who was born in Tehran, Iran, and is a Muslim. I'm sure she was pulling the strings of all the puppets there. So, something to... And I believe that article is also posted under the treason category. You can read more. Read all about it. Read all about it. And then we have this amazing revelation. Well, it's not really amazing. I kind of told you what I thought of James Comey in previous shows. Type in Comey in the search bar. But now we find that Comey was really in bed with Hillary Clinton. I don't mean in bed in the physical sense. I'm talking about he was all in to the fake Justice Department cover-up of an investigation, the investigation that never was, the investigation that was predetermined by order of Barack Obama, given to Loretta Lynch, you know, the same Loretta who met with Bill Clinton on the tarmac. I've talked about that a million times. And then directed to Comey, which he admitted in congressional hearings. It apparently, Mr. Comey, who already has, he has broken a number of federal statutes. Okay, I hope he gets himself a good criminal attorney, and I hope the criminal attorney loses. Because Comey is, he's worse than I thought. I thought he was just out for Comey, but Comey is really a deep state operative. He really is a progressive at heart. He really has damaged the FBI and its credibility because for a whole bunch of reasons. But we now, here's the icing on the cake. We now find out, once again, through documents that were never supposed to exist. And oh, by the way, as a digression, slight one. So a Freedom of Information Act deal on more Hillary documents was slapped on the FBI. This is just this week. So this all ties in. And the FBI responded that they weren't going to, I'm not kidding, you know, you can't do this. A FOIA request has to be honored unless you go to court and get a court order to stop it on the grounds of national security, which the FBI hasn't bothered to do. Instead, some Obama holdover in the FBI, who needs to get canned right away, tells the folks trying to get the FOIA, which is the Freedom of Information Act request, that they just simply aren't going to give them the documents. Not that we don't have them, not that they've been destroyed, not that they're national security. We're just not going to give them to you. You know what the reason was? The reason was there's not enough public interest. You know, last time I checked, there's about 65 million of us out here who are really, really, really interested in all of Hillary's documents. Now, let me go back to what Comey did. As head of the FBI, without the investigation even being near completed, with 17 witnesses, key witnesses to go, and Hillary not yet being interviewed, Comey, we find out, had drafted his dismissal of the Hillary investigation and her exoneration in late April or early May, a full 3 or 4 months ahead of when he stood up in July and gave that, like, unbelievable 14-minute indictment and then let her off the hook. This has been pre-planned all along. This entire investigation was a sham, a waste of our time, designed for left-wing media fodder and fake news, costing us, the taxpayers, millions of dollars by people who are in absolute cahoots with one another, trying to get Hillary elected, from Barack Obama all the way down. I mean, the 17 folks, by the way, were eventually interviewed, and they were all given immunity. I talked about this back then. Why would you give anybody immunity in an investigation like this? Well, if you never planned to prosecute them, I guess that would be one reason, huh? And if you had already exonerated your primary target, Mrs. Clinton, prior to the interviews, I guess that'd be another reason, huh? And of course, if you didn't plan to interrogate Hillary Clinton under oath, which Comey did not, then that would be another reason, huh? In other words, Comey is up to his eyeballs in true election rigging. Because if you put together the fact that he tried to hire the folks who came up with the golden P or the whatever that is dossier, which was totally made up, I've talked about that too. He tried to hire those guys, Clinton third party agents, to develop more. To develop more dirt on Donald Trump, we find out now that Comey is anything but this middle-of-the-road lawman who's trying to do the right thing. No, he was a political operative. He was allowing the FBI and the Justice Department to be used as research opposition for free for the Hillary Clinton campaign. At the same, it was kind of a twofer. At the same time, he was actively looking for stuff to undermine Trump, the culmination of which was his illegal, a felony, leaking of classified information, i.e., his conversations with Trump, with the President of the United States, to his buddy, the professor, who leaked them to the New York Times. Comey, I'm looking for the right words here. Comey needs to at least be investigated, hopefully indicted, and you know, some credibility has to be returned to the FBI. Now, hopefully this new guy, Ray, that was appointed by Trump, will start getting this done. But, the swamp is deep in the FBI, and the swamp apparently was at least partially filled by water by Mr. Comey himself in a knowing and intentional way. This was not mistakes. He knew what he was doing. He knew why he was doing it, both helping Hillary and hurting Trump and ignoring blatant violations of the law by Hillary and her campaign and by Loretta Lynch and Bill Clinton meeting on the tarmac. And I can go on and on. This guy needs to be held accountable for the good of the Bureau, because there's a lot of people in that Bureau who work their butts off for us on all sorts of nasty matters, ranging from your average, you know, if there is such a thing, your average violent, nasty crime to terror to huge investigations like Hillary Clinton should have been. And I'm not down on them, but the hierarchy, just like all the agencies under Obama and the White House itself, was rotten to the core. Rotten to the core. Speaking of rotten to the core, as a quick sidelight, Wells Fargo. Now, you know, Wells Fargo has been caught and fined billions of dollars for all sorts of fraudulent nonsense. For people being given insurance when they never requested it, and we find out the staffers were just adding insurance, people's credit cards, and all sorts of things of all sorts of types, and getting paid bonuses. And there were several other things that were going on just like that at Wells Fargo. And now we come to find out, just this last week, that Wells Fargo employees, again being paid by bonuses, you know, how many accounts do you open type bonuses, signed up about 1.4 million people so far that they know of for accounts that these people never requested be opened. In other words, they opened accounts using real names and forged documents, and there were 1.4 million people, plus their families, running around the United States with a Wells Fargo account they didn't know existed. In fact, the only time they found out it existed was when there were overdraft fees charged to them, because obviously since they didn't open it, they had never put money in it, and the service fees are then overcharges. It's really amazing, and that's Wells Fargo. And that's why I must tell you, I do not recommend that anybody, and I have told my clients this, I have told my friends this, I have told partners this, I've told everybody this. Do not put your money in one of the 10 largest banks. If you do, you're a fool. I'm talking about Bank of America, Wells Fargo, you know, J.P. Morgan, don't do it. These banks are like the progressives of the banking world. They don't care about you. And with the laws that Congress has passed, which basically allow banks to take your money and convert it to capital to save their own insolvency, I'm not making this up, you can look it up yourself. Let me tell you, if the survival of Bank of America versus your checking account, if that's a balancing act they have to play in their minds, it'll play for about one nanosecond, and then your money is going to be their capital, and you're going to be out of luck. The fact that banks and financial institutions can go out and screw 1.4 million people with these fake accounts, another million plus people with fake insurance, and I can go on and on. I mean, I'm just giving you examples. Means they don't care. And you can't trust them. And let me tell you, this too big to fail is nonsense. If there's ever a systemic crash, the very first outfits that are going to go down the tubes are those 10 big banks. And if they don't, it's because they took your money and everybody else's money to recapitalize so that they are not, quote-unquote, insolvent and federal takeover candidates. I'm telling you, folks, if you deal with these big banks in any way, shape, or form, cease and desist. Move your money to a local bank you trust, check the financial statements, move it to a regional bank or a community bank you trust. Number one, those are the people who are going to give you loans without jumping through hoops. Those are the people you know. Those are the people you work and live with in your hometown. And those are the people who are getting most screwed by the federal banking regulations, which, under the guise of keeping us safe, was really a lobbying attempt through Barney Frank and through Dodd-Frank to beat up on small banks and community banks, the very banks that keep Main Street running, because these big banks want more and more market share. These big banks can hire all the compliance officers to deal with this nonsense paperwork from these federal regulations under Obama. The little banks cannot. This is a concerted effort to drive little banks out of the market so these big banks can control more and more of it and therefore screw you more and more. I'm just giving you some examples. Google it up. I mean, there's pages on what these big banks have done to consumers. And you won't find pages on what small banks do to consumers because you know what? Your banker goes to church with you. Or your banker's son plays on the football team with your son, or your banker's daughter is on the volleyball team with your daughter. In other words, bring it down local, folks. Trust me on this. I'm not a financial advisor, but what I just gave you is good advice. Just make sure that your local bank, community, regional, whatever, local, I mean, check their financials. They're all available. You know, make sure you don't see anything that's kind of weird, you know, like their capital is very low or they lost money, you know, the last few years. I mean, you know, use your common sense. All right. Then the last thing I'm going to talk about, I was going to talk a little bit today about, the circle tightening around Team Obama. As more and more stuff is coming out about Susan Rice, the unmasking, we have now learned in the lab, but I'm not. Okay, I'm just going to broad brush it here. And I do not have it posted, so that will probably be part of next week's show with luck. We now find out that Susan Rice, who lied about being involved, of course, she lies about everything, and Samantha Powers, the UN ambassador that they tried to funnel all this unmasking through, who had no business unmasking anybody, and a host of others, Ben Rhodes, you name it, we now find out that they were actually asked, Samantha Powers and Susan Rice, to put together a chart. Now, I want you to think about this. Of all the conversations that any high-ranking member of the Trump campaign had with anybody, not just international people, not just Russians, the Russians are coming, not just kind of what the mandate for the security agencies, which Obama corrupted, what the mandate was to surveil foreign operators, if you will. And if there was an American caught up in the surveillance, i.e. they're tapping the foreign operator and the foreign operator calls the American was to be masked, his portion of the conversation was to be ignored, you know, not filed, whatever. We now found out that they went two steps further. Number one, they were getting in on the conversation, domestic conversations, not with international actors, domestic conversations between Trump and his higher echelon campaign staff and other domestic people, other American citizens. And number two, they were asked, not Terror, not Joe Blow's conversation, just Trump's campaign staff. Okay, Obama asked for, and Susan Rice carried it out through the intelligence agencies. They made a graph of all the phone calls. Every time one of the high mucky mucks in the Trump campaign made a phone call, had a conversation, be it international or domestic, it became part of this graph so that they had kind of a political matrix to see who was talking to whom when. Now, how much of the conversation they listened to I guess we're going to find out. Whether names were unmasked in this process, we already know, because otherwise you couldn't have done the graph. More on this is a developing story that just came out this week, and it proves beyond a shadow of the doubt that all this nonsense we've been fed about how this is for security and it's inadvertent catching of so-and-so American and all this kind of stuff. No, this was planned, it was directed, it was concerted, it was comprehensive, and it was kept as a record. That's a scary thought, don't you think? What's scarier is that there may be no accountability because the Republicans in Congress who could be doing something about this are doing nothing. And the Republicans across the board at the federal level, instead of appointing a special prosecutor, special counsel, to go after these people, as I've been saying they would, but somehow they can't seem to get done, to go after all these people, Obama, Jarrett, Rice, Rhodes, Powers. I mean, there's a Podesta. There's a huge long list. They're doing, I don't know what they're doing. I have no idea what they're doing. But it's starting to piss me off. I mean, even some of the people who are beating the drums in Congress can't seem to get any co-sponsors for legislation, are somehow being shut down by Paul Ryan or Mitch McConnell on committee investigations. And it's just unbelievable. I have to think about it a little bit more before I talk more about it. But I am incredulous that this type of rampant, felonious, anti-American, treasonous, complete disregard for the American people, the Constitution, the system, the rule of law, on so many levels, by so many people, in such a blatant way, with written evidence now supporting it, and written evidence supporting it for, you know, a year. More than a year in the case of Hillary Clinton and her deleted emails while she was under subpoena. How this can go unpunished, unaccounted for, uninvestigated is truly remarkable and a bit frightening. A bit frightening. Anyway, next week I'm going to talk to you a little bit about how I'm doing here at the Idaho Fair, which I'm looking forward to. Great fair, by the way. For you people in Idaho and northern Utah and Wyoming, for that matter, if you haven't been to the fair in Blackfoot, it's really one of the better events around. It's terrific. Great folks, great food, and, of course, great books. This is Reed Lance Rosenthal on the Right Side Radio. And I hope I've given you some food for thought. I have just about completed my research on the 10 states most likely to go under. And by the way, as one quick sidelight here as I sign off, do you know that the Republican Rhino government of Illinois, governor of Illinois, now remember, I did a show on this, just type in Illinois in the search bar. Illinois is broke. It's not going broke, it's broke. You need to listen to that show. There's 9 states right on its heels. But Illinois is broke. It's under court order to make payments. It's $14 billion behind in operating payments, and on and on. Listen to that show. Illinois' Rhino Republican governor, his Rhino governor, last week declared, he actually signed a bill making Illinois a sanctuary state. A sanctuary state. So a state that's broke is now a sanctuary state, attracting people who will further tax its broken, underwater, insolvent welfare systems. Okay. While it doesn't pay its current operating expenses. I want you to think about that for a while. And I will say once again, progressives, folks, do not care about America, Americans, or the Constitution. And if you could listen to this show today and think anything else, I guess you're a progressive. This is Reed Lance Rosenthal on the Right Side Radio, signing off from Blackfoot, Idaho. You folks have a great week. We'll talk to you next week.
Please remember, if you've missed any shows, just click on Show Archive and you'll find all of his shows. We look forward to seeing you here again next week for another episode of Reed Lance Rosenthal on the Right Side.